Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
We're going to jump back into our teaching this morning. Here's my question to you, and I just want you to think about this for a second. How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? Here's my second question. How do you know that you love God? How do you know that you love God? You know, when we think about that first question, I think for many that question gets very easily answered, right? Because if you've actually experienced the love of God very quickly, go, how do I know that God loves me? I look at Jesus. That's the answer very, very quickly. Then the next question becomes, okay, how do I know that I love God? I think that's a question that many more struggle with than with the first question. We struggle with the question, how do I know that I love God? And today, we're going to answer that question. So if you brought a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to John chapter 15. That's where we've been for the last few weeks. We're going to be there again next week as well. While you're turning to John 15, I do want to welcome you. Really glad every single one of you are here, especially of our guests in the house. I do want to welcome everybody that's joining us at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for being with us today. Really glad you're here. We're continuing on in our series called In Christ, where we've been looking at Jesus' words, where he consistently says, remain in me. And we've been talking about, what does it mean to remain in Christ? What does it mean to bear fruit? What does it look like? Next week, we're going to be talking about, what does it look like to have the result of joy in my life? And today, we're talking about why love and obedience matters. And so we'll be going through that this morning. And before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and pray together. So let's do that. God, what a great morning so far. Just thinking about how I have sensed your presence in our time of singing. It is clear that you are at work in this church family. And it seems like you have additional plans for this family going forward. And my prayer is that you would give us really sensitive ears and spirits to hear what you have to say to us through the scripture, and that we would choose and be empowered by the Spirit to trust you overwhelmingly. We love you, and we ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. And so John chapter 15, Jesus is getting ready to leave, right? He's going to be killed on the cross. He's going to be buried. 3 days later, he'll be resurrected from the dead. A few weeks later after that, he's going to ascend to heaven. And so in this, Jesus is answering the question, how do you stay close to me when I leave? All right? How do you remain in me after I ascend to heaven and I'm gone? And he's answering that question. And so let's look at John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 17 again this morning. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Now, what I really want to dial in on this morning is this idea that Jesus says that love and obedience are connected. Love and obedience are connected, right? Essentially, you really can't have one without the other. They're a package deal. They come together. And in fact, if we look at this from a larger level, if you only celebrate the love of God, right? God is so loving and you can do whatever you want and it doesn't matter and it's all okay and he just loves you, right? If the love of God does not actually lead you to holiness, if the love of God doesn't lead you to righteousness, if the love of God doesn't lead you to a transformed life, what you have is religion. It's a soft form of religion, but it's religion nonetheless. Now, some overcorrect and go, well, we can't talk about the love of God. We've got to talk about obedience. You've got to obey. You've got to obey God. And that's how you'll know that you're a Christian. And so, right, the obedience people, they work really hard to be a better person. I'm going to be kind and I'm going to be loving because that's what good people do, right? And you put your nose to the grindstone and you get up early and you do 14 prayer push-ups and whatever it is that you have to do to get going. And I'm going to follow the rules. But if that obedience is not born out of the love of God, do you know what you have? Religion. It's a hard form of religion, right? And so when you overcorrect either way, you still fall into the ditch of religion. One's a hard version, the other one is a soft version, right? And here's what I've got to tell you. Religion can't save you. Religion won't change your life. It can't be done. It can't be done. And so it's not love or obedience. It's a both and. And I'd like to pull on that just a little bit further if you'll go with me to talk about that a little bit deeper. Because we can start to put some thoughts together to say, okay, well, that means if I don't obey God, if I don't care about God, if I'm not interested in obeying him, then that means that I don't love God, right? If I don't really care about God, if I don't want to obey God, then that probably means that I don't love God. Is that a fair argument to make? I would say yes. I think that is a fair argument to make. If I don't really care about God, if I'm not interested in obeying him at all, then I don't love God. In fact, Jesus would say the exact same thing. In John chapter 14, verse 24, he says this, "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." And so that's what he's saying. If you're not interested in God, you don't want to obey God, then you really don't love him. That is some of the essence of what sin is. Sin is me just living life however I want to, out from underneath the authority and the leadership of God. You know what First John defines sin? First John defines sin this way, as lawlessness. That could be interpreted as disobedience, right? Jesus defines sin also as unbelief. And so sin takes a lot of different forms. And so it is rebelliousness. It is lawlessness. It's disobedience. It's unbelief. It's essentially saying, God, I don't really care if you have a design for my life that all humans are supposed to live by and created to follow by. I'm going to design my life however I want, and I'll be in charge, and I'll be the one who makes decisions. That's sin. That's sin, right? And so it's really easy to go, okay, if you don't love God, if you're not interested in God, then you're not going to obey God, right? If you don't love God, then you're not going to obey God. Is that a fair argument? And some of you guys are going, well, because you're thinking about the Old Testament. And to your mind, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah is coming to mind. And the prophet Isaiah, he's speaking on behalf of God, because here you have the nation of Israel, who they're the ones who received the law of God, right? They're, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, right? He's up there forever. They're like, we don't know what happened to this guy. What's going on? He comes down. He has the Ten Commandments. They're the one nation that has the law of God. They're told how to build the tabernacle, how to worship God. They know all of God's requirements, guidelines, rules, laws, and they are obeying them. I want you to catch this. Israel is obeying the rules that God gave to them. And then God moved the heart of Isaiah the prophet to say this in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. He says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught." And so you have people who took the form of what God desired, began to shift it and adjust it, and they're following the rules. But look what God says, their hearts are far from me. They're doing the stuff. They're doing things. They're showing up to the tabernacle, they're sacrificing, they're praying, but their hearts are far from me. And so what that tells me is this, is that you can obey God and not love him. You can actually obey God and not love him, right? This is religion. Isaiah 29 is talking about religion. And here's the thing, religion comes in all forms. It comes in all forms. When I am more committed to the form than the person, I'm crossing into religion. And quite frankly, there are a lot of forms of religion that look a lot like Christianity. They brush up right next to it, and it looks like Christianity. It smells like Christianity. It sounds like Christianity. But when you begin to peel back the layers, you see this is religion, and religion can't save you. And religion won't change your life. And religion puts all the weight on you. And so you kind of come to this place like, okay, so if I disobey God, I don't love him. But if I obey God, that doesn't mean that I love him. What in the world are we supposed to do? Right? We just walk around like being afraid and freaking out all the time. Is that what's going on? No, this is why Jesus says, you got to remain in me. Remain in my love. This isn't about religion. This isn't about rule keeping. This is about me keeping you and you keeping me. He says, and in fact, he says this in verse 9. He says, remain in my love. Remain. Stay. Stay. Linger. Hang around. Experience. Grow in. Right? Remain in my love. And I think we need to define this word love for a moment, because in our culture, we define it lots of different ways. For us, when we think about love, we think about things like emotions. We think about affection. Our culture, we think about sex. We think about attraction. We think about sharing common interests. And so for us, those are our typical definitions of love. And yes, love includes all of that, but Jesus points to a love that is more comprehensive and deeper than what any of those can touch. All right, he exposes it. Here's Jesus' definition of love. Jesus' definition of love is this: unselfish commitment for the good of others. That's biblical love. Unselfish commitment for the good of others. Right? He talks about that in verse 13, right? Greater love has no one than this, than that one would lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the definition of love. This is unselfish commitment for the good of others. That's what Jesus is talking about. And isn't that his life? Isn't that his ministry? He shows up into the world unselfishly. He lives the perfect human life unselfishly. He gives up his own life on the cross for sin that he never committed unselfishly, right? That's how Jesus defines love. Let's talk about this word obedience for just a moment. Obedience. Do me a favor. Let's all together say obedience. Ready? One, two, three. Obedience. Isn't that such a nasty word? Oh, just scrapes at the soul. You know, it's like some of you guys struggled to get it out. You're like, oh boy, I ain't doing it. All right. Obedience. Do you know that obeying God is a form of love? Obeying God is a form of love. 2 John chapter 6 says this. Actually, let's do this. Let's read this verse out loud together. Even if you're joining us online, wherever you're at, let's read this out loud together as well. Starting with, "And this is love." Are you ready? Go. "And this is love, that we walk in to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." John says, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, right? And his command is that you walk in love. Obeying God is a form of love. Obedience to God is things like submitting my life to God's agenda, submitting my life to his character, aligning my life with his priorities, aligning my life with his values. Do you want to know, if you want to get down to like a really short saying of what it means to obey God? It's saying yes to Jesus' leadership in your life. That's what obedience is. It's saying yes again and again and again, right? That's what obedience looks like. And here's the really important part that you have to catch. The way to obedience only comes through the love of Christ. That's the only way you can get there. To obedience, that's a form of love, not a form of religion, but a form of love. The only way to obedience as a form of love for God is by experiencing the love of Christ. By the way, Jesus said the same thing about himself. He says, listen, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. By the way, I remain in the Father's love, keeping his commands. That's right in the, right? We read that this morning. That's what Jesus said. What does that mean? What does that look like? I think the Apostle Paul was really, really helpful in exposing some of that for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. My guess is many of you are pretty familiar with this verse. For some of you, this will be the first time you hear this or read this. This is a very important passage. And in fact, if you've never committed a Bible verse to memorization, this is probably a really good one to begin with. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves." That is a line that many of us need to memorize again and again and again. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. "It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What Paul is saying here is this. We love God because he loved us first. We are only reciprocating back to God that which he has already given to us. How do we receive God's love? Through Christ. This is the darling of heaven who stepped into our world, wrapped himself in flesh, lived a perfectly human life while everybody was opposing him. As an infant, he had a king who was trying to murder him. As he's growing up, people are opposing him, spreading rumors about him, saying this guy's a sham, he's a con artist, don't listen to him. When they couldn't crush him in that way, they got some people to put some lies together, put him on a false trial, abused him, tortured him, hung him on a cross for no sin that he ever committed, and he died in your place and my place, the place of every single person for all time, for all sin. One death was full final payment in Jesus Christ. And he dies. And then he's resurrected, proving that he has victory over sin and over death, and that everybody who would put their faith in him, put all of their weight, put all of their trust in him alone, would have real life forever. That's the love of God. And you have to experience that first. And that's how, by the way, that's how we know that God loves us. If you ever come to the place where you go, how am I supposed to know that God loves me? Jesus. That's the answer every time. You will have no better expression of God's love than Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. There is nothing that God can do to part the skies. There is no financial blessing he could drop in your life. There is no healing that you could experience. There is no reconciliation of human relationship here that will ever be as good of a gift or a reminder or proof of God's love for you than that of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. How do I know God loves me? It's Jesus. And when you experience that, what Paul says the result is obedience, right? That's verse 10. We experience grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not by our own works. And when we've been transformed, now good works result from that. Obedience results from that, right? There's a transformation that takes place in us. So this is really, really important because some are going to mix this up. It's not that we obey so that we can be saved. Let me say that again. It's not that we obey so that we can be saved. It's we obey because we have been saved. I know it's just a change of two words, but it matters the most. We don't do good things so that God will accept us and approve of us. We do good things because he already has through faith in Jesus Christ, right? That is the key thing. And that is what separates religion from genuine transforming faith. And the reason you can know that you have genuine faith in your life and you're being transformed, that you've been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, is because actually you transition from wanting to resist obeying God, and the Holy Spirit begins to change your heart that you actually want to obey God. You want God's holiness in your life. You desire God's righteousness in your life. You desire more of God and less of sin. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And this is heart transformation that's born of grace, faith, and led by the love of God. That's the starting place. So then the question becomes, okay, then how do I keep his commands? And what we're really asking that is, how do I know that I love God, right? Because we know how to know that God loves us. It's Jesus Christ. How do I know that I love God? And Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. So how do I grow in keeping his commands? Three things very, very quickly, and then we're going to land the plane. Here's the first one. And this one's really important. You have to catch this. How do I grow in keeping God's commands? It's this. You work on your faith. Let me say that again. It's very important. You work on your faith. What some of you heard me say is work on your works. What I said was work on your faith. Why? Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says this. Actually, let's read this one out loud together, starting with everything. Are you ready? Go. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is how we walk. This is how we live. This is the foundation of this. And so if you want to grow in love, if you want to grow in knowing your own love for the Lord, is you work on your faith. It's, you know what it is? It's the song we sang earlier today. Behold him. Behold him. I'm not even going to try to sing it because I'm going to butcher it better than whoever just sang it. But I remember the words. Behold him. That's what we're talking about. Just look at him, investigate him, meditate on him. Let the work of Christ just fill your mind and your soul and your thoughts and your life to the point where the work of Christ actually thrills your soul and it overwhelms you. That's how you work on your faith. Is you just look to him, right? It's not about working on your works, it's about working on your faith. A really practical next step that I might encourage some of you to take that might be good for you, because some of us have never done this before. The fact that I'm sharing this, nobody's ever put this in front of you, is that actually one next step you might take, it's on your blue card, is to actually meditate on Christ's work. You've heard it, you understand it logically, but you've never taken the time to meditate on it, to think deeply about it, to essentially put it under a glass dome and to walk 360 degrees around the work of Christ and look at it and just marvel at it and let it splendor in your soul. And so if that's something you'd like to do, we've got a guide that we've created, and we'd be happy to send that to you next week if you check that box and let us know your email address on the front. But that's a great way to grow in your love for God in a way that'll lead you to keeping his commands, is to simply meditate on Christ. Here's the second way that you could do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to align your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to align your life, right? Obedience is aligning my life with the character of God, the values of God, the priorities of God. And you can't really do that by yourself. We talked about that last week. You need the work of the Holy Spirit, changing, transforming your desires, your motives, right, your priorities, all of those things, your thinking. And so ask the Holy Spirit to align your life. What do I mean practically by that? Here's what I invite you to do, and I think it would be huge for many of us in this room, because actually, I think we're afraid of this. We're afraid of this as a culture. Here's what I would invite you to do. Take some time this week and sit silently before the Lord. Like that. No background music, no phone, not just you and the Lord. Sit silently before the Lord and ask and simply reflect on your life. Evaluate your life and invite the Holy Spirit to bring before you ways that your life is in alignment with God's character, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring in front of you ways that your life is out of alignment with God's character. I'm going to tell you, this will be some of the most intimidating, scary work some of you will ever do. Every time I go to sit silently before the Lord, it freaks me out on what the Lord is going to expose in me. But it's not like, it's not a berating. It's not a, you know, Fritz, you're the worst, and I can't believe I saved you, right? I regret it. That's not what it is. But it's like, it's blind. You know what it is? You know what shocks me though? It's blind spots. It's the blind spots. It's the blind spots that all of you see in my life, and I can't, and I don't, right? We call them blind spots for a reason. And it's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that, Lord. Our culture is in hurry, busy, fast, keep going. What's the next thing? Don't look back, look ahead. And actually, the scriptures would invite us to reflect and to evaluate. And again, that's the next step that you might take as well, letting us know about. We'd love to pray with you. Here's the last way. Here's the last way to grow in your love for God, keeping his commandments. It's very simple. Do scripture. Do scripture. Do scripture. Scripture is not simply meant to be read, memorized, or known. Scripture is actually meant to be done, obeyed. Right? Because what God is doing in the scripture is he's revealing what human life is supposed to look like. How we're meant to live, how we're designed to live, right? And here's the thing. When it comes to doing scripture, when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're living by faith, when the love of Christ has overwhelmed you and filled you, this is not, it might be different. It might be what you're not used to. It might be out of your character, but it's not out of his character. They're not burdensome, right? In fact, he changes and he transforms our lives to get to this place. And so do scripture. Listen, for some of you, some of the most spiritual things, next steps you might take is to take the step of baptism. And not because you understand everything about baptism, but it's because you've come to faith and you haven't done it yet. And the most spiritual thing you can do is simply take the step of baptism because Jesus asked you to. It's a step of obedience. And you do it by faith. Some of you, a great step of faith would simply be by reading the scriptures and seeing what God has to say about himself as opposed to what you think he might be like. An amazing step of faith in doing scripture could be to simply confess sin to the Lord, to repent of it, to make a decision. I'm not going to live that way anymore under the leadership of the Spirit. I'm going to live this way instead. For some of you, one of the greatest steps of faith you could take in doing scripture is to forgive a person. Not because you feel like it, but because Jesus asked you to. And he said, actually, when you forgive, it's a sign that you've been forgiven and you've experienced it for yourself. I have a friend of mine who sent me a text a few weeks ago. And I asked him, can I have your permission to share this anonymously? And he said, definitely. See, about a year ago, his wife left him. And so he's been wrestling through all of that. Some of you know exactly where he's at and what he's feeling in that. And he sent me this text a few weeks ago. He said this: I watched a teaching on forgiveness. I've been tormented and attacked from Satan for the past month, and I decided that it was in part because I have not forgiven my wife. And so today, I decided to finally forgive her. I just sent her a message. God helped me understand that I don't have to wait for her to ask me for forgiveness. I can just give it to her as a gift. And I prayed that God would give me the courage. I prayed that God would guide me. I prayed that God would deal with the devil. I prayed that God would help my wife. My flesh didn't want to do it. But I obeyed. After I sent it, I exhaled and I felt God's peace. Guys, that's love for God. That's what love for God looks like, right? And what he has done is he's obeyed God's command to no longer hold a debt against his wife that she could never pay him back for anyways. What could she do to make up for it? In reality, nothing. There's nothing she could do to make up. So what he's chosen to do, I'm releasing you of that debt. And he's absorbed the cost. That's what Jesus did for you and for me on the cross and out of the grave. He absorbed the debt of my sin. I can never pay him back. Do you know you can never pay Jesus back? He absorbed the cost on himself, and he requires no payment from you forever. The gospel is love and obedience together. That in fact, the Son loved the Father so much that he obeyed the Father all the way to death on a cross, so that you and I could be invited in to the love of God because of his work and not our own. And when you experience that, that will change your life forever. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We end each teaching the same way, just with a simple question of Jesus, what are you saying to me? And then taking a moment to listen to him and what he would say. And I want to give you that moment to listen to him. God, my prayer is that you would help each one of us to see that this is not grinding out obedience so that we will be loved. But it's also not just pointing at your love and then living however we want. But this is actually love that's from you so profound, it literally transforms the way that we think, the way that we feel, the decisions that we make, the words that we say. It touches everything. It affects everything. Lead us increasingly to that kind of love. And I'm so grateful that you give that to us freely, generously, abundantly, as a gift of grace. Thank you for that. I would, if I can be bold enough to pray right now, Lord, I'm praying that there would be some people in this room or joining online who they would actually have the ability to discern religion from genuine faith that leads to being born again. And no matter how long they've been in religion, they would cross out of that. They would leave death and they would step into light. And it would not be an embarrassing thing. It wouldn't be a humiliating thing. It would be simply, wow, my eyes were blinded to that. I see it now and I'm saying yes to Jesus and I never want to go back. I just want to remain in his love. I know that God loves me and I'm learning that I do love God and I want to walk with him for all of eternity. I pray for those people here today who've been trapped in religion. Today would be a day of freedom for them and they would live brand new lives. We want to pray for you. And so let me tell you what's going to happen. The band's going to lead us in just one more song. And so during that song, we will have prayer leaders that'll be available in the corners of the room. So we'll have one on each corner here, and then one's back by the sound booth. I'm gonna ask those leaders to head there now. They'll have kind of a lanyard, probably like a gray colored lanyard and a little badge that says, hey, I'd love to pray with you, or maybe it has their name on it. But they'll be available to pray with you about any area of your life. And you don't have to be a member to receive prayer. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed because we all need prayer, right? I need it. You need it. We all do. And so when we stand up here in just a second and the band leads, you can just head immediately to one of those corners and these leaders would absolutely love to pray with you this morning. So let's stand together in the house. We're going to worship the Lord. And while we do that, if you'd like to pray, you can do that as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would love to pray with you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.